Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, the guys that have been carrying face of basketball for the last decade plus 20 years, we need that next face of the league. And Luka is obviously a candidate as he continues to dominate. He's been dominating his entire career. Wembanyama is an obvious choice because he's about to get his signature shoe at Nike and everything. But to have a guy like Anthony Edwards, the face of the league conversation is going to be great. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Kenny Beecham Podcast. We are officially in the second round of the playoffs, and I got a lot to talk about because we saw the Minnesota Timberwolves go into the toughest place to play, Denver, and get a win because Anthony Edwards might be Michael Jordan 3.0, because Kobe is 2.0. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about the end of the Cavs and Magic series and what the offseason could look like for the Magic. And we got to talk about the Clippers because their championship window shut this year. Yeah, let's get into it. Leave a like, subscribe, go over to the audio platforms, give us 5 stars. It goes a very long way. Tell a friend that if they need some NBA playoff conversations, the Kenny Beecham Podcast is the way to go. Let's get into it. Of all the second round matchups, the Wolves versus the Nuggets was the one I was anticipating the most. I think these two teams match up very well against each other, with the Denver Nuggets being one of the better offensive teams in recent history. You think about them having the best offensive player in the league, with them having so many pieces around him that just fit like a glove, and them coming off a championship. Well, we all know how great they can be. And the Minnesota Timberwolves have the best defense in basketball. And not only do they have the best defense in basketball, they match up so very well. Last year, if you saw in the first round, Bruce Brown, Mike Malone, Nikola Jokic all said that of all the teams they went through in that playoff run, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the team that played them the best. Yeah. And that was without Naz Reid. That was without Jaden McDaniels. And both of those dudes are back. A lot of this game, and I've been feeling this way for the entirety of the playoffs so far. I mean, it's only been 5 games for the guys because they can't lose at this point. But Anthony Edwards being able to be better in the postseason than he was in the regular season, he was on my All-NBA second team, right? He was second team, and he was very firm there. Right now, I don't even know if there's an argument for anybody else in the playoffs being better than him. In the playoff sample size, forget about everything else, just the playoffs. I don't know if there's anybody else that's even close to having a conversation that Anthony Edwards has been worse than. 43 points in this one, 16 in the first quarter and 12 in the fourth. And to be able to start off the game this hot and then finish the game with 12 points, including that a turnover jump shot over the right side or the right shoulder where he told Karl-Anthony Towns to clear out because he had KCP on him. He wanted to look like Jordan. Come on, man. It was everything you could have imagined. And in this series, just to be candid, I picked the Denver Nuggets in 7. That was my prediction. Y'all know, just because I make a prediction don't mean I'm rooting for that. I'm just saying that this is what I think might happen. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's just the way basketball is. Hell, I picked against the Suns. I mean, I picked against the Minnesota Timberwolves the first round with the Suns. Look how that went. And one of the reasons why I picked the Denver Nuggets in this one, because it was so close. And again, I love everything that the Minnesota Timberwolves has done and how good they have been over this last stretch. The one thing that put it over the top for me was Nikola Jokic is the best player in the series. And that might be all that matters, right? Then you watch game one. And I'm not saying that Jokic is not the best player in the series. Do not get me wrong. But my mind quickly shifted from Jokic is the best player in the series, bar none, to how many games can Anthony Edwards be the best player in the series, right? Jokic had a good game. It was tough. It was tough as hell. This is one of the toughest 30-point games I've seen from Nikola Jokic in his entire career. But this game, Anthony Edwards was the best player on the court. How many times can he do that? Because if you're saying it's 4 out of 7, then the boys might win this series. Because all it takes is a game. They have just taken home court advantage away. It didn't matter what they were really doing. And I do want to say I expect the Denver Nuggets to guard him so much differently because in this first game, he didn't really see many double teams. He didn't really see many different actions. They didn't really make him become a playmaker. And we saw that he can do that. We saw that in the Lakers series when they did start to send multiple bodies at him. He made the right play time and time again. Oh, not the Lakers series. I'm sorry. The Suns series time and time again. The game that he had 40 late in that game, it wasn't just about him getting buckets. It's about him finding Mike Conley in that left corner. It was about him skip passing to Karl-Anthony Towns in the right corner. Like, he made all the right decisions. But if you Denver, you'd rather him have to do that and say Jaden McDaniels, who had a good game but didn't score much, we want Jaden McDaniels to hit these shots. We want Mike Conley to hit these shots. And he did in that third or fourth quarter. Mike Conley was incredible because in this one he saw a lot of single coverages and he was hunting, and that's one of my favorite things. When I see a player, specifically a perimeter player, no disrespect to the bigs and the wings, but I mean like a perimeter player, a guard, when they're hunting, it's some of my favorite stuff. When Anthony Edwards is saying, Jamal Murray, get your injured ass over here and come guard me, that was so incredible. Because there was nothing that Jamal Murray could really do. Even KCP, the guy who has the best chance against Anthony Edwards, was just not strong enough. This guy's 22 years old. And I know Twitter and all these other places are going to talk about where could he be, because he's only 22 right now, and who knows, could he actually end up being the next Mike? That's like real conversations. Like when it first started and you saw the Photoshop of one of the half of the face is Anthony Edwards, the other half is Michael Jordan. It was everybody's memeing. But now it's like, hold on. He's 22. They mic'd him up. And you hear how he's leading his team. Or you look at a post-game interview of game number 4 versus the Phoenix Suns when he's telling Karl-Anthony Towns, damn, bro, you got to stop fouling. Like he has all the charisma in the world. He is a ridiculous leader for somebody that's only 22 years old. And he's got all the game in the world. And I think that what makes him different than some of the other players, and this is not a just exclusive Anthony Edwards thing, but the fact that he is so hell-bent on taking the best defensive matchup and sitting in that chair, that was the one play. Oh, man, this was third quarter, 9 minutes ago. He is guarding Jokic. How did they end up getting here? I don't know. Some switches. I don't even remember. He's guarding Jokic. And on a cut, Michael Porter Jr. cuts through. Anthony Edwards gets off of Nikola Jokic and recovers enough to block the shot. One of the craziest defensive possessions you can ask for a guard. Like, that is what he is right now. When in the regular season, he was a good defender. Hell, his rookie season, he said that he has the potential to be the best defensive player in basketball. Anthony Edwards is a boisterous guy. You know what I'm saying? He said he can play any sport and be great at it. He was a four hitter back when he played baseball. You know what that means. But for him to say that his rookie season, and then show us that he can be a great defender. Don't get me wrong. This Minnesota Timberwolves defense is not just Rudy Gobert, even though he was phenomenal in this game and has been phenomenal for the last season. It's not just Rudy Gobert. He did it great in the regular season. But in the playoffs, for everything to go to the next gear, it's just so exciting to see. And you want to think about how much of a luxury it is for the Minnesota Timberwolves to have Karl-Anthony Towns in the third quarter come out of halftime and drop 11 points on perfect efficiency. Didn't miss a shot. He was phenomenal when they needed a run. Him to check out and Naz Reid to come in and drop 14 points in the fourth quarter. That is so much of a luxury. And listen, Naz Reid was not very good offensively in his last series. He just wasn't. And it had me thinking like, okay, in this series, how much can he really play? You know? Like, I know they want to go two big men as much as they can in this series. They want to overpower, be bigger than the Denver Nuggets, especially when the best player in the Denver Nuggets is a big. But if he wasn't making shots or he was turning the ball over or whatever, or in foul trouble, because I think he had more fouls in this series, in the last series, than it wasn't field goals, but it was something like crazy. He had more fouls than something. How much can he play? And in this one, he was like, don't worry. Because in the first half, I thought that he was kind of brutal. That's our guy, Naz Reid. But in the first half, he looked kind of brutal. But for him to go into that fourth quarter and give them a nasty 14 points to not allow the Denver Nuggets to get back in this game. The one thing that surprised me the most about what the Wolves have done through the first 5 games of this playoffs. In the regular season, they were the 27th ranked clutch team in basketball. We talked about a lot on this show, on my other channels, that when it got down to the last couple minutes of a game, if it was relatively close, the decision-making from Cat, the decision-making from Anthony Edwards was something that I did not love. Bro, through 5 games, they have been a perfect clutch team. Is it sustainable? I don't really know. I don't know. How do we have an 82-game sample size saying that y'all are off with this, and then and when it matters the most, you turn it up? Is this just them hitting the next gear? Is it real? I don't know. But the way that the Denver Nuggets played last series against the Lakers, it was like, we're going to be all right. When the fourth quarter come around, we'll be okay. We're one of the best clutch teams in basketball. Hell, I think they were number 2 in the league last year. They have the best player in the league. And y'all know Nikola Jokic's bread and butter is unguardable. If he get within 6 feet of the rim, GG's, get back on offense. There was nothing you could really do. I thought that might be the case. Game number 1. The Wolves never let it happen. They never let it happen. And that's just amazing to me. A big part of the Denver Nuggets' identity, and part of the reason why they won last series and won the series that they played, all the series last year, was their offensive rebounding. This regular season, they were 6th in offensive rebound percentage in the regular season. They were just 6th. They were top 10 in that. Last night, or a couple nights ago, they had 3 offensive rebounds in the entire game. The Minnesota Timberwolves said, no. You're not going to play Denver Nuggets basketball. You're playing Minnesota Timberwolves hoops. and they set the tone early. And eventually, yeah, they started to turn the ball over and the Denver Nuggets got back to that game. But they set the tone early and they didn't look back for the most part of it. I thought it was so very interesting to see how many defensive looks they threw at Nikola Jokic, because he's not a guy. There are certain players in basketball that you can't decide this is the thing we're going to do against him, because he has a computer in his head. You do the same thing for two possessions in a row, that third time down, he's finding an open shooter. He's going to get to his spot and hit his shot. He's going to make something happen. But in this one, they did so many different things, where when they were doing the two-man game between him and Jamal Murray, sometimes you straight up saw Karl-Anthony Towns, who was the primary defender in a lot of this, not really give a damn about Jamal Murray. Jaden McDaniels is one of the best screen navigators in basketball. I don't know if, I guess there's a stat that proves that. I'm not thinking about that. Just like the eye test. He's one of the best screen navigators in basketball. And what Karl-Anthony Towns did, or I guess the team collectively decided, we're going to let Jaden McDaniels fight through these screens every single time. Because the last thing we want to do is to allow Jamal Murray to get that pocket pass to Jokic, because who knows what happens from that. It could be a Jokic shot. It could be a backdoor cut or a baseline cut from Aaron Gordon. It could be a corner three-point shot from one of the shooters. We don't want him to see that ball in. And Jaden McDaniels' fault, and Karl-Anthony Towns denied, and that allowed Rudy Gobert, who we knew he was going to be guarding Aaron Gordon for a lot of this series, just roam. Well, sometimes Jamal Murray did get downhill because Jaden McDaniels couldn't fight through a tough screen. And guess who was there? It was Rudy Gobert. Reggie Jackson got caught like three different times in this game, and it's one of them he made. We're two-man game, Nikola Jokic. He gets past his defender. He leaves his feet. Oh, snap, this is 7'1" defensive player of the year right here. I got to go up. And then one time, he bounced it off his knee, and one time, Rudy Gobert contested the shot so much, it was damn near an air ball. That is just great defense. And then, they said, oh, man, we didn't did this a little bit too many times. Let's switch it up. Aaron Gordon is on the bench now. So is Karl-Anthony Towns. Rudy, you're one-on-one with Nikola Jokic. And Jokic did his thing. Don't get me wrong. There was like maybe four different possessions where Jokic saw the one-on-one. He said it's feast time. I mean, Rudy Gobert is a DPOY, but damn, Jokic is the MVP. So he did get that. But there were so many different things that they ended up doing that changed things up. Nikola Jokic in this game shot 9 3-pointers. 9 of them. That is the most three-pointers he's attempted all season long. All 82 games of the regular season plus the playoffs. 9 3-point attempts is the most he's taken this whole season. And hey, I ain't go back that far. It could have been last season too. I don't really know. They forced this man to take the jumper. And last year, throughout their championship run, he hit his shot. He hit his three-pointer. It was huge. You couldn't leave him open. I mean, you got the one against Anthony Davis, you know, the one-legged on the right wing. But him hitting his three-point shot was super important, where, like, that really means he's unguardable. He's already unguardable. But if he's also hitting his three-point shot, he is really, really unguardable. And in this one, they forced him to take nine threes. He hit two. And it's going to be very crucial. If he's going to end up settling for those three-point shots, he's got to knock it down like he did last year. And I don't know. Jamal Murray's injury, scaring the hell out of me through the first part of this playoffs. They talked about in the broadcast that in game number 5 versus the Lakers, they didn't even want him to go. He hit the game winner eventually. But they didn't even want him to go. That injury is that much of a nagging injury. And if he's not to his full potential, I know he has 17 points in the second half, but if he's not to his full potential, it just makes it even more tough because Reggie Jackson is obviously not the same option as Jamal Murray is. Like, you still have to guard Jamal Murray as if he is healthy and everything, but he was not moving very great. And to think that Anthony Edwards and them were just picking on him on the defensive side of the ball, it's just, I'm not going to overreact to game number one. This is a long series. Again, I said Nuggets in 7. I don't know if the Wolves can get this done before 7, whew, I mean, get them the championship right now. But I think this is a long, long series. Objectively, this is the toughest team that the Nuggets have faced in the playoffs over the last couple seasons. Objectively. The entire run last year, I'm not discrediting the ring because the championship is a championship. But hell, it was one of the most dominant performances we've seen for a championship run. But this Minnesota Timberwolves team is better than every single team they went through to get to that finals last year. So this is a real true testament to who you are. I don't have really questions about it because I've been watching it for the last couple seasons. But like, yeah, this is a tough, tough matchup. Mike Malone's a great coach. He's going to have to change his defensive scheme on Anthony Edwards next game. Aaron Gordon has to make them pay. I know he only attempted 1 3 in this game, number one, but because they do not guard him from three, and they make it work in Denver because he's so much of a vertical threat where he shimmies down that baseline to get a lob, or he's an offensive rebound machine in most cases. He makes it work with his jump shot being iffy, but all season long, his jump shot's been ass. And he's got to make a couple to just make them think about it. He can go 7 for 7 for 3, I think. And I don't think the Minnesota Timberwolves is going to care too much. I mean, yeah, they may lose that game, but they're like, okay, in game number 3, he's not going to do that. So he has to hit a few of those to just alleviate some of the pressure that Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are playing with. But boy, was that game incredible. Boy, was that game incredible. Anthony Edwards is just a different kind of beast. When you're drafted with the first overall pick, this is the type of player you want. Hell, you want this any place. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get him at number 13, but to get a guy like this at number one, he is kind of like the perfect archetype of a guy that I would want to lead my team. He can create for himself. We've seen his playmaking ability just get higher and higher and higher every single season. He cares. And that is one thing about, and it's going to make me sound like an old head as I go on a little rant, that sometimes I feel as though some of the younger players coming into the league just don't really care enough. They just don't. And I guess that was one of the biggest question marks about Anthony Edwards, and that was why the Warriors decided, well, they didn't have a chance to draft him, first of all. But I just remember a report that was like, the Warriors don't want to draft Anthony Edwards because they question his competitiveness and love for the game. He's an ultimate competitor. He wants to win every single night, and he's got the skill and the work ethic to make him be the face of the league eventually. Like, after the Lakers series, the Minnesota Timberwolves social media accounts created this graphic that was just a picture of Anthony Edwards that said face of the league. They not too far off. As we rapidly approach Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, the guys that have been carrying face of basketball for the last decade plus 20 years, as they start to feather out and miss the first round of the playoffs or miss the second round of the playoffs, we need that next face of the league. And Luka is obviously a candidate as he continues to dominate. He's been dominating his entire career. Wembanyama is an obvious choice because he's about to get his signature shoe at Nike and everything. But to have a guy like Anthony Edwards, I'm just saying, the face of the league conversation is going to be great. You know, it's hard to find a LeBron, a Kobe, a MJ, right? Those guys end up being top 10 all time eventually. But Anthony Edwards could potentially end up being the face of the league, which is great. Shout out to the guy. I want to talk about the Mavericks destroying the Clippers the last two games of their series. I just cannot believe how the Clippers just lay down and just let the Mavericks win this series. I mean, I think they ended up losing game number 5 at 30. Maybe they didn't finish at 30, but at one point it was 30. And luckily for the Clippers, Drake and Kendrick were throwing haymakers. So nobody gave a damn about y'all losing this playoff series. Nobody cared. But now I'm going to talk. About, I care now. I didn't care when it was happening. I was listening to these dudes just keep rapping about each other. But now it's your turn to catch these bars, because I believe that the window is closed. I don't think I'm in the minority here. I think most people will probably agree with this one, that the window has closed for the LA Clippers. And this one, Paul George, non-existent. He had the few games where I think he had a 27-point game and a 33-point game where he was phenomenal. James Harden hit the one game where he was phenomenal. But other than that, everything else was trash. They got destroyed so much in game number 5 that Tyronn Lue was like, hell, we got to do something. PJ Tucker, you didn't play like 5 games for us this last 2 months. Please start and please help us, because we just need another big body that can go in and look like he cares about us winning basketball games. One of the most infuriating things for me as a fan of this sport, of this league, is when a team with a lot of talent just comes out and looks like they do not give a damn. We saw the same thing with the Phoenix Suns when they were down 2-0, 3-0, and they just act like they have 6 more games left for the season. That's what the Clippers just did. PJ Tucker was and Terrence Mann are like the only two that look like they cared about their season being over if they lost. They lost this. And again, no Kawhi Leonard for the majority of this, but I don't really give a damn about that this moment in time. Luka Doncic did not have a good series. His counter stats were pretty damn. It's like, I think it's like 29, 9, and 8. He shot 40%. He said before game number 5 that if it wasn't for it being the playoffs, he wouldn't even play because he had the nagging injury and he had a cold and everything. Like, this is a winnable series even without Kawhi Leonard. Hell, how about we just make it competitive? Those last two games were so infuriating to watch, and I don't even care what the outcome was. That's the Clippers. That's Clippers brand of basketball. In the last, since 2021, remember, we're in 2024, the year of our Lord and Savior, 2024. Kawhi Leonard has played a total of 4 playoff games. And 2 of them I shouldn't even count, because it was this series where he didn't look good. He's played 4 playoff games since 2021. They already paid him. They paid him in January, gave him a big old bag. Kawhi Leonard, stay here. This is your home. We're building this new dome, this new arena, whatever, whatever. We need you to stay. I do not know how they can change the fact that that window is completely closed. He's 32 years old, and this is not a shot at Kawhi Leonard because he's fucking amazing when he plays, but that's just the thing. When he plays, it's always the question. He's 32 years old. Paul George, older guy. James Harden, older guy. What makes us believe that another year in their body is going to be good enough for them to go raise the Larry O'Brien Trophy? Because let me go ahead and go through this Western Conference again. Just remind you how ridiculous it is. Denver Nuggets, the defending champion. That's a hard team to beat. The Minnesota Timberwolves showing us that, hey, our time is now and our future is ours too. The OKC Thunder were the best team in the Western Conference this year. We ain't seen what they look like as Dallas just yet. But that's the team you're going to do. I need to keep going. The Lakers are going to do something. I don't know what the hell it's going to be. The Lakers are going to do something. The Dallas Mavericks just tore you up. There are teams like the Houston Rockets should be better. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be back in the fray. This team's window is shut, y'all. It just is. And you want to know what's just going to cement it. If Paul George looks in the mirror and says, I can't be a number two. At my age, with my production, I can't be a number two. So, hell, I'm going to go to Philadelphia where I could be number three behind Joel Embiid or Tyrese Maxey. When he does that, if he does that, and he decides to switch teams, which I don't know the likelihood of it. He's a California guy. He's got his podcast studio. They've been doing it virtual over the last month or so while he's been in the playoffs. They don't hit the same. So do we want to be a media guy? Do we want to be a hooper? I don't really know. So I don't know the likelihood of him re-signing or going to his next team. But if he decides that what's best for my career to compete for a champion, if he really wants to compete for a championship, leaving the Clippers is probably the best way to do that. Because he just can't be the number two. It's just too many highs and lows and inconsistencies in Paul George's playoff resume. Hell, regular season resume too. And I love Paul George. I'm a fan of Paul George, but I got to keep it honest. So if he's inconsistent when it comes to one game, he has 33 and the next game, he has 12 and Kawhi Leonard can't play and James Harden continues to give us duds when it's a closeout game. How can we say that we're going to compete with the Denvers, the OKCs, the Minnesotas of the world? Hell, we get there. We got Boston. We got other teams. Like, it's close. And with Luka not having the series that we know he can, because I want to remind you, when they first played each other, the first two times they played against each other, Luka Doncic was on this whole nother level. Again, he had a good series, not a great series in this one. You can't handle that. I don't know. What's next? You want to know the most damning part about all of this? And I kind of mentioned it a second ago. The team that blew itself up in order for you to help you build this team, the OKC Thunder, right? Kawhi Leonard said, I'm coming to the Clippers, but I need some help. Go get Paul George. They say, hell yeah. We got this going into year number two guy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He good, but we don't know if he ever going to be great. I mean, never mind. Doc Rivers and everybody else in the locker room said they knew he was going to be great regardless. No, none of them could tell me, well, honestly, that they thought he was going to end up top three in MVP one day. I would tell them straight to their face that they're lying. But we're going to trade him away. We're going to trade three first-round picks and three swaps. We're going to trade Gallinari, right? We're going to trade this package to bring in Paul George. Now in 2024, the OKC Thunder have passed them. Straight up passed them. That team, when you made the trade to get Paul George, that team was starting their rebuild, if you will. And now, they passed you. Now, I don't want to act like this era is completely without success, right? Getting to the conference finals is hard. There are a lot of players, a lot of teams that build themselves to be great and never touch the conference finals. I can never take that away from them. But that's not the ceiling that you wanted on this team. That's not why you're in the luxury tax. That's not why you're at the second apron to make the conference finals a few years ago. We want to consistently be contenders and contenders and contenders. And I talked about on this podcast, or maybe it was my other podcast, that there were two teams. This was 2 months ago. Actually, I know it was on my other podcast. Numbers on the board, if you want to check it out. Tuesdays, 2 o'clock Eastern time. We on ESPN2. 2 months ago, I watched a game where the Clippers played against the Sacramento Kings. And in this game, Keegan Murray went nuclear, and the Clippers end up losing. I was hot. Because it was the same thing I mentioned towards the top of the segment where it felt like they didn't care. It didn't matter. 82-game season. I mean, maybe it does in the grand scheme. You might have had home court advantage in this series. I don't know if that is going to change the outcome, but I was hot. And I go to the podcast. I say, hey, y'all, before the show starts, this to my guys for the cameras on, I have like a four-minute rant. Just a four-minute rant. Just let me get this off my chest because I'm pissed right now. And in that, I said there are two teams in basketball that we are giving respect to that haven't done a damn thing for us to get there, for them to warrant our respect. Those two teams, the Phoenix Suns and the Clippers, both first round exits. We look at the big bold name. Oh my God, in 2019, Kawhi Leonard hit one of the clutchest shots of all time. That was 5 years ago. Paul George in 2017 was top three in MVP. 2017, damn near a decade ago now. James Harden was the MVP of the league. How long ago was that? We gave them the respect. And I want to again, they went on a run where they were, for a month and a half, they looked like they were unbeatable. And then they also had the same sample size of them being sub 500. So which one do we believe in? Do we believe they're the team that was unbeatable for a month and a half? Or do we believe that they're the team that was sub 500? The answer was it was somewhere in the middle, but it still wasn't good enough. So much respect for the Kevin Durant, Devin Booker team, and Bradley Beal team just because they have the names of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Nothing to do with what they're actually doing on the court. We see the names. We see Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. Hell, the Clippers have Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Zubac. They have five future Hall of Fame. No, they got four future Hall of Famers on their team and a great coach in Tyronn Lue. But all of those dudes are past their prime. Not saying that they're bad. Don't misinterpret. They're not bad. They're still great. They're past their prime. And to see them get dunked on and them to look slow, old, and sluggish against the Dallas Mavericks should be eye-opening for the entire organization. But I tell you, it won't be. You know why? They got a whole new arena. They got to put butts here. They're not about to do nothing dramatic. Hell, Paul George, please come back. We can't open up a brand new arena and win 37 games. No way, no way, no way. But the Dallas Mavericks was like, hey, Derek Lively, here's a lop. Daniel Gaffer, here's a lop. Maxi Kleber, here's a corner three. Derrick Jones Jr., catch a body for us. They just look slow and unathletic. And now basketball, every other team that I mentioned has athletes that are significantly better than what the Clippers have. And I do not believe you can win a championship without any athletes. And I mean like bounciness. I mean all of that. I mean the defensive aspect of like Derrick Jones Jr. Shout out to my guy. When he was here in Chicago, he was one of my favorite players on the team because I could tell that he cared. Offensively, defensively. Couldn't shoot for shit. But he tried. And now he's shooting best of his career. It's not nothing crazy, but best of his career. And he's going to compete on both sides of the floor. He's not going to be afraid to take a shot. You let him put the ball on the floor. He's going to jump out the gym. He's going to jump out the gym for a block. You need me to guard him? All right, I'm going to do it. Even if it's not a great matchup for me, I'm going to do it. Those are the type of players these type of teams need. And the Clippers don't have anybody other than Terrence Mann that feels that. And Terrence Mann is not this bouncy guy. He's a competitor. But he's not the super athlete. Every other one of these teams has at least one super athlete. You got the Aaron Gordons. You got Anthony Edwards. You have Derrick Jones Jr. Obviously, there's levels to this. The Clippers don't have none of that anymore. There was a time when Paul George was a freak athlete. Not anymore. Not anymore. Shout out to my guy, Brody. Horrific series from him. He was the only guy out there that was trying to pump the crowd up. And I mean, when they were winning, don't get me wrong, they were pumping the crowd up. But back against the wall, Brody was the only guy that was trying to get the home fans into it. It was the biggest Clippers playoff home loss in their existence the other day. It's not good enough. Dallas Mavericks move on to play against the OKC Thunder. And this matchup, I don't know how to feel about it just yet. I hope that this little bit of time that they have allows Luka Doncic to heal up a little bit. Because again, like I mentioned, he was laboring a lot of this series. He's still a monster and one of the best in basketball, so he still takes advantage of his defenders. But in this one, he shot 1 of 10 from 3. And a lot of those were settled step-back threes. And Kyrie Irving was phenomenal in this one. This is going to be a really, really good matchup. I think that my initial prediction was OKC in 7. A lot of people are going to go with Dallas because Dallas has Kyrie, Luka, and the experience over OKC. I'm trying to, and maybe this is just stupid by me. Again, my prediction doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm not rooted for that to be true. But I'm starting to look away from the lack of experience with OKC. I just think they're so damn good that lack of experience thing might matter again with most teams. I think this team might be different. I think they also have some defensive players on their team that are not going to hold Kyrie or Luka Doncic, but just going to do a better job than what the Clippers had defensively with Lu Dort and J-Dub being. I think that we're going to see this series for a lot of people that have not been paying a lot of attention, going to realize how good of a defender J-Dub is, like especially as a secondary defender. But I also think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to have to go out there and have a phenomenal series too. So I mentioned how the other Western Conference series is my favorite. This is undoubtedly my second favorite one. And I can't wait to see it tip off. We had a game seven, for whatever reason, tipped off at noon Central. And I don't like that NBA. It's Sunday, right? It's Sunday. We usually have a matinee game. But because there was nothing else left on the schedule, I know we had some hockey stuff, hockey playoff game seven, I think, and some F1 stuff later in the day. You shouldn't be afraid to compete with those things. And I think it did a disservice to help growing some of the smaller markets and the younger team in basketball to not have this be like a real primetime thing. I know, again, national TV for sure. I think it was on ESPN, right? On ESPN/ABC or whatever. But I think it would have been cool for them to be like, oh my God, there's one basketball game on tonight. It's a 7 o'clock tip off. Watch Donovan Mitchell versus Paolo Banchero. I feel like we didn't get that. We didn't get that for this entire series. And part of me understands it, right? It was a dogfight of a series where I think only a few times in it, both teams scored 100 points, right? It was one of those type of series. But I did enjoy it. The Orlando Magic, let's start off there since their season is over. It was a phenomenal year for y'all, man. You destroyed your over-under by a ton. Nobody really saw y'all other than like some of the super diehards definitely believed that they could be a playoff team. I don't know if they thought they could be all the way up to the 5 seed. Like, that's incredible. But what a phenomenal season. You have Paolo Banchero blossoming into a star. The one thing about Paolo that I can't wait to see what he does in the offseason, I'm watching game number seven and pretty much this entire series. And there were so many times where I would have loved to see Paolo Banchero use his size more. And he got to the free throw line a million times today, right? So that's part of him using his size. But he's bigger and stronger than his defender in a lot of cases. So I just want to see him, when he does go to the post quite a bit, but a lot of times like this turnaround jump shot, like Anthony Edwards does a bunch, I want to see him just straight up bully kids. And I think he has the NBA body to do that. And with another offseason of experience, I think he'll do that a little bit more. There's a lot of conversation about Franz Wagner in this first playoff series, especially in game number seven where he didn't do anything. Let me see his actual counting stats in this one. I'm afraid to look at it. 1 of 15. Yikes. I was watching the game. I didn't realize it was 1 of 15. So there's some conversations about, you know, how can he fit along Paolo long term? And I think it's a bit premature. That would be my opinion. It's a bit premature. This is their first playoff series. All of these guys. Oh, Gary Harris is playing the playoffs, obviously. But Jalen Suggs, Wendell Carter, Paolo, Franz Wagner, John Isaac did play in the playoffs in the bubble. But Cole Anthony, these guys have never played playoff minutes before. And it's hard to play in the playoffs. It's specifically a team like this that all season long, they struggle to score. And now you're telling me we have another team that's great defensively that can game plan against some of our stuff. It makes sense that Franz Wagner, for the grand scheme of the series, would struggle. I'm not surprised by that. I'm not married to the pair, don't get me wrong, but I do think it's a bit premature for us to start thinking about, oh my God, can they fit together? Let's just see what this offseason looks like, because it's apparent that this team needs shooting today. They were 10 of 31 from three. At one point, they had missed 9 straight threes. And they hit, Gary Harris hit one with like a minute ago, and that was the end of the streak. The game was already over. So they desperately need to go out there and use the crazy amount of cap space that they have to just bring in more shooters, because Paolo in this one had 38 points. Again, he got to the free throw line 18 times, which is phenomenal. The game will open up so much more for him if he had respect to shooters. This draft goal, this Frazier class is not anything too ridiculous, right? You got some names up there that could potentially be that. Paul George, Klay Thompson is a free agent. You got some shoot. Buddy Hield, he did have that one game in game six. But they desperately need somebody out there that's like not just a good three-point shooter, because Jalen Suggs was a good three-point shooter this regular season, not so much in the postseason. Gary Harris is a good three-point shooter. But there's a difference between a good three-point shooter and a respected three-point shooter. There are a lot of players in basketball that are good three-point shooters. Lu Dort shot 40% from three this year. He's a good three-point shooter. He's not a respected three-point shooter. Other teams allow him to shoot that shot. And though Jalen Suggs had a 10% increase on his three-point shot this season, other teams allow him to shoot that shot. Gary Harris, people allow him to hit that or shoot that shot. They need some dudes that are feared. They need some feared three-point shooters. A fear three-point shooter on the other team, Max Strus, struggled this whole series long. And then in fourth quarter of this game, I felt it, y'all. In the fourth quarter, oh, I'm sorry, not the fourth quarter. It was the third quarter of this one. He had 11 points. And as somebody that had Max Strus destroy his favorite team in the play-in game last year, just like that, I felt that pain that the Magic fans were feeling, because he hadn't hit a shot for most of this postseason. Him and George Niang at one point were like, J.B. Bickerstaff didn't even play George Niang. George Niang played 82 games in the regular season. 82 games. We got to the playoffs. He missed a bunch of shots. And J.B. was like, no, you're not playing in this one. Like, that's how bad it was. And for Max Strus hit three threes in his third quarter, it's just demoralizing. 33-15 third quarter for them. And Donovan Mitchell, let's talk about Donovan Mitchell, because in game number six, he put up 50, a 50 piece, and lost, and lost. And I was like, man, hey, bro, if I'm putting up 50, all the points in the fourth quarter, and my teammates are going 0-6, and we lose this series? How do I put my trade request in? But they win, because eventually, I think on this podcast, we talked about how through the first couple games in this series, Donovan Mitchell could not find a shot. And honestly, throughout the entirety of this series, he couldn't find a shot. Today, he was 2 of 8 from three. But the last two games of the series, so much pressure on the rim. So he shot 17 free throws today. In that 50-point game, he only shot 6. All of that was him putting his head down, getting to the rim, magnificent layups and dunks and so many different things. It was like he realized that, hell, I'm one of the better finishing wings in basketball, guards in basketball. So let me just do this time and time again. And Darius Garland struggled in this one. He hit that one corner three, and that was like a big one for the momentum. But he struggled. Luckily, not struggled enough to have them lose. I question, now, the Celtics are the better team. The Celtics win that series. I wonder what's going on with Jared Allen, because he didn't play in the last couple games of the series. And with no Porzingis, the Celtics are kind of vulnerable in their interior. Jared Allen would definitely help that. But if we're saying that he can't play or he won't go for the first couple games, again, the Celtics are the better team. I don't know if it even matters grand scheme whether or not Jared Allen plays or not, if they would have a real chance to win the series. But a successful win. The crowd was really into it. I love that arena. I've been to it twice now. And the crowd always packs out. So shout out to the Cavs for moving on to the next round. And the Orlando Magic, man, I'm very excited to see what you do. I absolutely pray that they do not take the Sacramento Kings approach of continuity come off season. Because I do believe continuity matters, especially with a younger team. But I think we saw the holes in this roster. We already saw it. We see it. We don't expect Jalen Suggs to jump up another 10%. Even if he do, I don't feel like people still going to respect it. I hope that Franz Wagner get his jump shot back. But we can't just run it back and think that, you know, we probably will be better just because we're a young team. And even though progress is not linear, it's close to it, right? But I do want them to go out there, just make something, some type of moves, go get a guard, another guard that can shoot a little bit, that can play, make a little bit, and make the game just easier for Paolo and Franz. I think that's all we got. I saw a report earlier today, and the floodgates are opening about the Phoenix Suns, where it was like other teams are monitoring the Devin Booker situation. I put my hands up, and I sit back and watch. The way Mac Ishbia was talking last week, I don't think he would think about it. But I don't think he would think about it. But if Devin is the one that's making you think, then you got to do what you got to do. If you enjoyed this episode of the Kenny Beecher Podcast, be sure to leave a like, subscribe. And next time we talk, we will have a one-game sample size of every single series so far. And we could dive into what we're seeing, what we like, and what we not. Who's the favorite? I don't know. I'll see y'all soon.